Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 471, Temporal Edict and Moist Vessel.
Hi friends, welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And week two for the people listening in the future, but month two for, forget it. We're two more Lower Decks episodes. How about
that? Welcome to Lower Decks.
Where nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes out of your mouth is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who's supposed to like the show.
Nailed it, guys. We nailed it.
Actually, I never said I liked the show.
That I never will.
God. Really? Because they threw something out in this episode it's the second episode where I was like, oh, Maggie's going to like this now.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you.
Was it the weird virus that makes shit grow on stuff?
No, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I think this is part of my summary, so. So you're not feeling any better about it in the second pair, huh?
I still hate this show.
I mean, you're probably always gonna.
I probably always am.
And there's people who say, like, it gets better in the second season. I've seen the second season. I think I saw the third season. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I've watched at least two full seasons of the show.
Yeah.
And there's, as ever, some good ideas, some good voice casting occasionally. But, not landing for me. Still.
Yeah, no. I've seen all of season one, and I've seen at least some of season two. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah. We don't make a show anymore. And I was like, hey, Maggie, you want to do a show again? And you're like, oh, yes.
Oh, I suppose.
Well, I suppose we should get started. I will say, based on the title, I thought this was going to be a time travel episode, and it wasn't. So that's something, I guess.
It's certainly something.
Please tell us about Temporal Edict.
All right, so after an impromptu rock concert from Mariner and Tendi, this is the best thing Tendi does all episode, we launch into the main plot, which features Captain Freeman, I finally figured out what her name was, discovering that her big diplomatic mission to Cardassia Prime has been named Vulcan because, quote, everyone thought Cardassia Prime was too creepy. This is that whole weird Trek racism thing I was talking about last episode, but also, Cardassia Prime is creepy, so I can't really argue with that, like, at all. Anyway, Freeman's pissed, and also she's an asshole, so she blames the problem on the crew slacking off. Meanwhile, the Lower Decks gang explains the concept of buffer time to Tendi. So, you know that thing where Scotty told Geordi to tell the captain that a job would take more time than it would so that he'd look like a miracle worker? Yeah, so now everyone in the entire fucking fleet does that, and it's called buffer time. And somehow Freeman doesn't know about this. Actually, that kind of makes sense. I get the feeling that Freeman doesn't listen to a lot of things. So Boimler blabs about buffer time, a concept he hates, because of course he fucking does, and Freeman puts the entire crew on timers, causing everyone to run around like maniacs and make mistakes. It reminded me a whole lot of working the lunch shift at Wendy's, honestly. Mariner joins Commander Ransom on a mission to some planet that really likes crystals, which I guess is almost a joke, but then it gets fucked up when the team accidentally brings the ceremonial log instead of the expected ceremonial gem, which actually is pretty funny. The away team gets stuck in Crystal Jail while the crew invades the Cerritos with stone knives and bearskins, and the fact that the episode doesn't call out that particular Trek reference along with all the others that it does is actually weirdly annoying to me. The invasion would be easily overcome, but Freeman keeps screaming at the crew in my actual literal nightmare, so it doesn't really go great. Eventually, Boimler gets Freeman to rescind the buffer time ban by making a speech about how not everyone on the ship is as good as him, and the crew takes the ship back. On the surface, Ransom fights a monster and gets to go free. More on that in a minute. Then there's some really upsetting romantic tension between him and Mariner, and of all the stuff I don't like on that on this show, that makes me the most upset.
So something I learned about myself is watching these episodes is... when we started, I mentioned this several times, you very clearly established yourself as the one who hates this show with a fiery passion, whereas I'm kind of indifferent and think it's lazy. But when I haven't slept enough, which just so happened last night, Sure. I get like that veneer of pretending to be the one who likes it drops away real quick. I found so many things to hate about this.
Shut up.
And like last time we did this, I mm-hmm. was well rested and I was ready. I knew going into this, that was the bit and I was mm-hmm. fine with it. And I was genuinely trying to challenge myself to find like five good things instead of the usual one. And I, mm-hmm. I managed. And this time it was like, is there anything good? I hate this.
The show is so fucking bad and I hate it so much.
Something I noticed, though, as mm-hmm. I was taking my notes and looking at your notes, we respond to, like we've always had, you know, different opinions about things because we're two different people.
What?
But you hate different things than I do, and some things that really annoyed me, you actually liked.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, which I guess could make for good discussion, I suppose, but sure. It'll just be, I liked it. Well, I didn't. So mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that is the depth of our discussions. So
the depths of your ignorance, not your ignorance, their depths. But yeah, I just, and this is all to say my good thing is something mm-hmm. that you apparently didn't like. You said this in your summary. I actually like the aesthetic of the aliens, the whole crystal thing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the various crystals on the planet were cool. They have a geode that crushes you for justice. The ships that they board the Cerritos with have little spiky things on the bottom, like a microchip.
That was cool.
I thought that was cool. Having the aliens say the word crystal 7,000 times out loud kind of undercuts that, but that's the show in a nutshell. Like, hey, here's an interesting idea. Let's kill it with bad jokes.
There's a bit where like they cut to one of the guys and he just sort of spreads his arms out and goes crystals mm-hmm. and like I would get like that's a good punch for the episode after you've been building these fucking crystal thing for the entire thing but they just stick it in the middle of the episode and then make a bunch more crystal jokes and it like fucking figure your shit out, guys. Jesus Christ.
But also they're not jokes. They'll just say crystal the way a Smurf says Smurf.
Yeah,
they're like, well, this isn't very crystal.
Okay. All right.
So much, and we've said this, and we will continue to say this. So much of the material in this feels like leave this as a placeholder and write something better later.
Yeah.
And then they never did.
And it's infuriating. It's just the first joke. Like, fucking mm-hmm. Mad Magazine makes better Star Trek jokes than this.
Look, Mad Magazine was a bit hacky, but sometimes they were great too.
Like, mm-hmm.
Better than this.
Like, it's just, it's all the first joke you make, you know?
Yeah.
And like, guys, come on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff to mine here. There's crystals to mine, for God's sake.
Uh-huh. And I'm just going to get into my bad thing. What they will mine
mm-hmm.
is one specific television show.
They sure do.
Boy, this show really wants to fuck Star Trek The Next Generation, huh?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't even mind that influence on the look of the ship. The interior and the exterior look very Enterprise-D. That's fine.
Yep.
The typeface is the same. Like, the font that they use for the credits and the logo is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I use that same font for Endeavor, but I do it in caps, so it doesn't look exactly like. It just looks similar. But
I do like doing the TNG look for the episode title.
Yeah.
Just because it's got the blue weird over an animated ship.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have like the uniforms have evolved a bit, but they definitely evoke the next gen uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't mind a lot of that because look, pop culture for decades when they made jokes about Star Trek made fun of the original series. So hey,
yeah.
There's a whole generation of people who grew up on TNG who are like, okay, but what about making fun of the Star Trek I know? And that's not bad, but. Mm-hmm. This episode just takes it to a whole irritating, like, well, this series takes it to a whole irritating level. But
yeah.
this episode opens with a violin recital in 10 forward.
Mm-hmm.
Boimler literally humming the TNG theme in the turbo lift.
Oh, I hated that.
He's going, fuck you, Boimler.
Yeah, seriously. Oh,
like, okay.
Oh, God.
Two points. One, mm-hmm. there's a lot of Star Trek for you to be an embarrassing fanboy about. Two, maybe you could try being your own thing a little, maybe.
Ugh.
Yeah.
This is the other thing too, is like anytime they get close to like a joke that I'm actually enjoying, mm-hmm. they have to let the air out of it by having someone scream, and then Khan happened or something, remember?
Yeah.
It's just no, ugh.
I can't remember if it's this one or the other one where Mariner goes, "Who am I, Kirk?"
Yeah, right. Like, oh, God, that sucked.
She doesn't even say Captain Kirk or James Kirk. She just says Kirk. Like, everyone, I mean, everyone might know who that is, but in universe, it just seems, I don't know.
No, it's this one, because it's like, oh, I'm going to fight like a guy, I'm going to fight a guy in a
yeah.
Wait, no, it is the next one.
In an arena.
Fuck, I don't know. These blend together.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
I don't care. I'm so tired.
And then they got the first officer who is like, hey, you guys remember Riker? Riker kind of sucks, right? Like, really? Yeah. No, Riker's awesome. What are you talking about?
Which it was a big, weird ties creep, into your right? Stuff. No? Well,
that ties into your bad thing, doesn't it?
Ugh, yeah. So Mariner and Ransom get into a fight about who gets to fight the big giant monster man at the end. Mm-hmm. Mariner makes like this big impassioned speech about how it's like, look, I'm really good at fighting monsters.
Yeah, she does the action movie thing where she shows off all her scars, which is not bad.
Yeah. And then Ransom just does it anyway because he's like, he's supposed to be like the asshole hero guy or whatever, who like, he's basically Zap Brannigan, but not as good.
There's so much of this that makes me think of Futurama, like the a lot of the alien design and the planet design, and like, and Futurama premiered in 1999, over 20 years before this show happened. Like they got here first and better, guys.
Yeah. But like, anyway, so then Ransom stabs her in the foot so she can't fight and runs out and does it anyway, and then actually kicks the monster's ass while Mariner looks out the window and is super into it. Like, I fucking love when the dumb asshole gets proven right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not great.
It's like, yeah, no, I'm a good Starfleet officer. I'm good at this kind of thing. And I like that Mariner is good at this kind of thing. Like that, like that she is actually a good Starfleet officer who doesn't want to be in command or whatever.
I don't think she's a good officer. I think she's good at certain things.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the episode when I realized I think I would like Mariner in any other show, but I really do not like her in this.
Fair. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I like her well enough, I suppose.
I appreciate that she's the kind of character you enjoy, and I see that. Mm-hmm. In a Star Trek setting, I feel like there's ways you can be funny without stretching the premise to the point of breaking. I think I said this last time.
Mm-hmm.
You got this character who will just go in a room full of the most senior officers and yawn very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's insubordination for humor. And then there's, okay, that's enough. Come on, man. And I'm not saying they should take it more seriously, but I said it last time. If you're going to set it inside of Star Trek, you do have to play by some of those rules.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like a sitcom character. And look, I like the performance.
Mm-hmm.
I like the character. I would like her in something else, but in Starfleet, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. And it's just like they keep having to, like, I could see the annoyed tossing the pads around bit working without the big yawn thing.
Yeah, but there's so much of that. There's
sure is.
And she just walks around talking about how boring everything is and how, like, I don't know. It's just irritating to me.
I do like
not as irritating as Boimler.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate him so much. I hate him so much, and he's just going to keep being here.
There, I got to say, he had one moment, his first moment, and remember it because he probably won't have another one for a long time when the Stone Knives and Bearskins guys are invading, and everyone else is freaked out because they're overworked and overtired, and he's in his element because he's, you know, a tryhard. And he's like, wait a minute, I have a phaser. And the look they put on his face before he just starts shooting them actually made me smirk a little.
I still hate him, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. That should have gone to a better character.
Yeah.
It was so good because it was a bit out of character. What was your good thing?
I sort of realized in this episode, Captain Freeman is actually a very good, terrible captain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't sure sort of what to make of her at first, but like realizing is like, oh no, she's just a terrible captain. She's like your terrible boss who is fucking bad at what she, like, she absolutely deserves to be on a crappy ship getting bad assignments. She doesn't listen to anybody. She yells a whole lot and blames literally everyone but herself. In the next episode, she literally does that thing where someone tells her to do something and she is like, yes, that was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's awful and I hate her, but like, I'm not expected to like her. Like,
no,
other characters in this cast that I could name.
As a as a force of comedy, I like her. And mm-hmm. as in world, I think it still works because you're right. It's that management style of things are going wrong, so I'm going to yell at everyone to work harder instead yes. of realizing that maybe my leadership might have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, yeah, I like to hate her. You're yeah. right.
She's a good, she's a good hate.
Yes, exactly.
There's more of that in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Let's see.
They might have done this before and I didn't notice, but the main characters of the show refer to themselves as Lower Decks.
They've done this before, yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
And it made me remember, oh yeah, this show, this really sums the show up. Decided to say, remember that episode of Next Gen called Lower Decks? What if we just called it that?
Yeah, we're just that.
What, like, you couldn't change it even a little? No, Lower Decks. You know, like that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, okay.
You know, like that thing you saw.
Mm-hmm.
On that one show.
Mm-hmm. Which, one of the best. Like, mm-hmm. it was great. At its mm-hmm. at its best, it was, you know, at its worst, it was pretty terrible. But, like, there are some all-timers. Like, there are more all-timers in that than most of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Great characters, great stories. But, guys, come on. All right. What else? Anything?
Also, don't bleep the curse words. That's starting to make me really upset. Like, if you're going to swear, swear. You know? You decided, like, that you're going to put cursing in this show. You know? Like, your fucking precious season... your precious TNG didn't fucking curse. Like, goddamn.
I still have a problem with this. Like, all the other ones just do it, though.
Yeah, they just do... Like, yeah.
Like, Pike will just stroll on the bridge and say, "What the fuck, number one? Shit, fuck, ass.
What's up, fuckers?"
Yeah, that's how people talk in Star Trek, for sure. Yeah,
fucking do, like, fucking I mean, curse or don't, but pick one.
Yeah, that's fair. There was a gag at the end that a lot of people liked. I wanted to like it,
mm-hmm.
where they talk about, it's the far future, and they're talking about the most important person in Starfleet history, and it's, well, first of all, the captain names the, so she says, like, okay, we should just have buffer time. We should just do things the way you think are best. Don't worry about the rules. We'll call it the Boimler effect, which actually mm-hmm. I like because he hates it. It's entirely yeah. antithetical to everything he believes. And I like that it's named after him and he's stuck with it. And
yep.
the gag is in the far future. That's the thing he's remembered for. And I like mm-hmm. that. But even then they have to fuck it up because the statue of him here pictured with the great bird of the galaxy. Like, Jesus Christ, you guys just have a joke that's yours. You
fucking
almost got there.
Because... The statue of him looking weirdly awkward with an eagle on his arm is fucking funny.
Yeah. And then someone in the writer's room thought they could punch it up. But wait, there's a bird in Star... The Great Bird of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Put that... It's like, god damn... This show loves putting a hat on a hat.
Mm-hmm. On a hat, on a hat, on a hat.
On a hat. There's so many hats. Yeah. It's like the fucking thousand hats of Emerald Huggins.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a Dr. Seuss book, but I'm also pretty sure I got it wrong.
That's fine.
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, though, so.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Uh-huh.
But they say, now let's talk about the most important person in Federation history, and they show Miles O'Brien, which is kind of cute. It just makes me mad that I kind of made the same reference in Endeavor, and I wasn't copying this. It was an independent thing, and like, fuck, damn it.
See, but for me, the vibes it gave off was because they show his statue, and it's like him behind a transporter console,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh,
yeah, because Next Gen.
This isn't referencing, like, that O'Brien kicks ass in Deep Space Nine. This is mm-mm. just ripping off that fucking Chief O'Brien does stuff comic where he's, like, standing mm-hmm. behind the transporter thing and being sad all the time. And I can tell that because he looks exactly like he does in those comics.
Yeah, and I like those comics, but that is one artist's take on it, not
yeah.
canonically the way the character is. Yeah. All right. Anything else about this one?
No, I hate this show. Fucking...
Like I say, the one thing I learned is I can't keep up the facade of kind of enjoying it when I'm real tired. So tie a moist vessel, I fucking guess. The Cerritos joins the USS Merced at a mysterious generation ship so they can both tow it to its original destination and also get both ships soaked in terraforming goo in the third act. Weird that the captain would just say that in her opening captain's log narration, but the show does love being meta, I guess. Having completed her important expository voiceover, the captain resumes doing two things she's quite bad at, being a captain and being a mom. utterly exhausted by Mariner's endless insistence on using 21st century slang, drinking gallons of whatever sitcom writers think is a funny-sounding drink, probably mojitos, and flinging her own poo around the ship, the captain pretends to get a brilliant idea when someone else actually says it out loud first. What a hilarious gag that I haven't seen since I Love Lucy, or probably before that. The idea in question is to give Mariner all the worst jobs on the ship in hopes that she'll quit, which would actually be a solid tactic, except she already has to work with Boimler every day, so how could any of this possibly be worse than scraping up the jizz in the holodecks, which they just basically say, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then the captain gets an even better idea. Make Mariner a lieutenant and have her sit in on all the boring stuff they did in TNG. And they canonically say, boy, isn't it boring to be on the Enterprise in TNG? Which, that's the thing that's going to win Maggie over, right? Like, you're always saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Violin recitals and meetings and all that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Tendi knocks something over, flails around, and then feels bad about doing that. Then the third act happens and the ship is soaked in terraforming goo. Huh, who saw that coming? Mariner and the captain learn the power of cooperation for about 8 seconds while Tendi kisses a boy who then becomes a horrible god. Then we spend 2 full minutes making fun of the way Leonard Nimoy said censors, and I suddenly find myself wanting to take back all those times I wish Star Trek had more levity. And I think you liked the censors thing, but I did not.
No, mostly because we used to make that joke back when we were doing the original series.
Well, yeah, because it's a little odd, but also... Yeah. For them, it's like, I thought you guys loved Star Trek, and you're just mocking Nimoy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, fine, whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah. Also, again, as a passing joke, as a throwaway joke, it wouldn't have bothered me so much, but it just goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know. I fucking hated this one, too.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Did you manage to find anything good?
The weird goop was cool, but...
Yeah, it was. It was. I didn't actually say that, but it was.
No, you were right in that I thought the weird goop was cool.
No. I thought the thing you thought was cool was the saying that like being on the Enterprise is boring.
Oh, no.
Like all the stuff about violin recitals and you know, listening to people's poetry readings and all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great if they hadn't opened the last episode with a violin recital, too. Like, God damn it.
Yeah. And honestly... Having to sit through someone's one-man show is torture.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I've done it. I was sort of a peripheral part of the comedy community here for a while. And look, they had to sit through my boring shit, too. I'm not saying I'm better than them, but I also had to go to all theirs. And not all of them were great. did you manage to find a good thing about this episode?
What did I pick? Oh, yeah. So like one of the subplots going through this episode is this guy O'Connor is attempting to like ascend into a higher plane of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tendi fucks it up and mm-hmm. spends the rest of the episode trying to fix it. And, he finally ascends at the end of the episode and it goes completely fucking wrong. He starts screaming and like weird things start happening. And that I've actually found pretty funny. I love when something terrible happens to a guy who wanted it to happen.
Well, let me recommend a show for you called The Twilight Zone that really mm-hmm. might be up your street.
Oh, shit. You might be onto something there.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't bad. And the idea of him getting like all the universe's knowledge and then, oh, God, it's too much and it's all terrible.
Yep.
That was all right.
I also like Tendi trying to speed run his ascension. Like, okay, if I do this from this culture and this from this culture, mm-hmm. We can probably have you ascended by tomorrow.
Here's some yoga moves. Get serene, quick.
Yeah.
What? No. Huh? That was cute. You're right.
Yeah.
But, and we'll get to this in a minute with my bad thing, but her just flailing around, like, We'll get to it in a minute. But your bad thing is connected to this. So
It also ends with him going, why is there a koala here? Why is it looking at me like that? And that was just a bit too much. Like,
no. What he said first was the entire universe exists on top of a koala or inside a koala. I don't remember what the relationship to the universe. It's the universe koala, like the world turtle in Discworld or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And what sucks to me is maybe now that's canon. Maybe Star Trek now says, yeah, the universe does like. Exist inside the mouth of a koala or whatever. Like, oh God,
I'm sure at the very least on Memory Alpha it says that.
Yeah. But you're right. Him saying it was a throwaway thing, but then they showed it.
Yeah. Do one or the other, you know? Like, honestly, having him say it is way funnier.
Mm-hmm. And you could just write that off as, oh, he you know, he was seeing all this crazy shit and he didn't know what it was.
Yeah, or not. I don't know. But, yeah. Like, ugh.
Yep.
It just, the second I start enjoying this show, like, they have to go just a little bit further.
I think that's, and I think we both agree on this. Mm-hmm. I think that's why this show is so irritating for both of us, is because it almost gets you there. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, I could get on board with this. This isn't bad. It's a good idea. Maybe mm-hmm. they're, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, okay, it's just bad. Strap in and we'll watch a bad show. We've done that. We did it for mm-hmm. a year for Enterprise. We could, and this is shorter and more to talk about. It's not going to be so bad, but it keeps Lucy footballing us.
Yeah.
We keep thinking this is the time they came up with a really good idea. How could they? Oh, they fucked it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So my bad thing, this isn't really specific to this episode, and I may have mentioned it last time, but I want to talk about it again. There's been a trend in cartoons for a long time where every character just shouts a joke at you as loud as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they think it's funnier if everyone's maximum angry or panicky or whatever emotion they're feeling, so they can then animate lots of crazy gestures and like, it's not bad in small doses. It's funny when it's punctuation, but when it's mm-hmm. how every character acts all the time, ugh.
Well, and like we already just did, like the last episode, the whole point is that everyone is in fucking manic mode, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, no, everyone's overworked.
Everyone is just always like this.
Yeah. And that's why I say Tendi, and this is one of those things where I hated it and you liked it, mm-hmm. but this is going to happen. Where she's coming in to see the original Ascension ceremony thing before she screws it up. And she does a little like dance, like a little, she brings her arms in close and closes her eyes and makes a little you know what I'm talking about? And you said, I like her little dance.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wrote is the animation of her looking excited is such a, I hope you nerds use this as a gif.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Because it definitely was just, like, look, here is someone very excited about it. Okay. And I'm not saying don't make someone excited. I'm saying just everything just feels like, I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm just bitching about nothing here because I'm trying to find a way to say this and I can't.
I absolutely get it is the thing.
Everything's too exaggerated, but not in a way that I find funny because, mm-hmm. again, it's always like that. Your sentence can't all be punctuation. You have to have some letters in there.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a lot of us pinching the bridge of our noses. Yeah. My good thing, I actually liked the captain, and I didn't pick up Captain Freeman's name. I just wrote the captain for all my stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, this episode is like, okay, you need to start learning people's names. You're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know, I'm still trying to remember what the chief engineer with the mustache's name is because he keeps showing up.
Oh, Jeff Foxworthy? Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy. But he's probably got a real name.
I don't know. Yeah, they all probably have names. This is a thing, like, you've got your thing with faces, and I've got a thing with learning characters' names if they don't say them out loud a dozen times.
Yeah. No, I have a rough time with that, too. My brain is designed so that I will never know who anyone in my life is, ever.
Yeah, that's fine. Then you're always surprised.
I mean, I am always surprised.
Who's this delightful person I'm doing a podcast with?
Mm-hmm.
Who's this delightful person I'm sharing in a very tiny apartment with?
Look, that time you shaved your beard for Emerald City for cosplay purposes really mm-hmm. threw me off. Like, I think I covered for it pretty well, but, like, I was flailing for a while there.
Threw you off? I had a beard since I was 17.
Who the fuck is this guy? Why does he keep hanging around with me?
I mean, that's what I said looking in the mirror, including the hanging out thing. Anyway, I liked the Captain and Mariner thing. I liked
mm-hmm.
The relationship of a mother and daughter, like, and the captain is the mother. Like, it's very sitcom. It's very, this is one of those Star Trek things that feels implausible to me, but whatever. Working past that, because it is a comedy show. Okay, fine. The fact that she tries to defeat her, giving her boring jobs, and the boring jobs, the specificity of them were pretty good. Like,
mm-hmm.
the cleaning the jizz out of the transport or the holodecks is a joke everyone has made, including yes. us. and it's tiresome and whatever, but it was also quick. And she's scraping stuff off the hull, and she's like, at one point, they're using phasers or something like phasers to clean a thing up, and she's like, you want to make this interesting? And the other guy goes, what, bet on who could do it faster? And the third person goes, yeah, we're all down. And like,
yeah,
it's cool to see a glimpse of like, oh, this is why she's not completely like thrown out of Starfleet, because she's fun to be around.
Yeah.
And she makes these terrible jobs kind of interesting. And that's why it doesn't work. And I like that. And then I liked the story of like in the third act of them coming together and like they showing us, they did a good job writing wise, character wise, of showing us these two very different characters. They are very similar, actually.
Yes.
And I didn't see that before. I legit didn't. And they did like, oh, yeah, I see it. And I see why they drive each other fucking nuts, because they are so similar. So this is like, if you gave Mariner power, she'd be real bad at it. Yeah.
But like, but the fact that she like real, like, I think that's part of the like, no, I'm good being an ensign. This is where I'm supposed to be. Like,
I don't hate that about her.
No.
Like, that is how I feel about jobs. Like,
oh, yeah.
When I interview for a job, it's like, no, I don't have aspirations to rise through the ranks. What I want is stability. I want this job, and I want to get really good at it, and I just want to stay there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't.
You do
need
not
to
want
be...
me in charge of people. Like,
I think, I mean, I've been in charge of people, and I don't think I'm bad at it. It's just too much for me. I don't want it. Okay, what else?
What else? My God. I actually really like Ransom being like, no, she's finding ways to inject tiny amounts of joy into her everyday tasks. It's infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty good. I guess
Tendi's line to the replicator, colorful sand, room temperature, also made me laugh.
Mm. Yeah, that seems like a make you laugh thing.
Yep.
The
phrase hachimachi. An exclamation that I know comes from the critic, because that's where I started saying it.
No, that's not where it comes from. It's
actually, I looked it up on Urban Dictionary. It is.
Urban Dictionary is not a great source for that.
Fair.
You might be right. But that feels like one of those things, like it might be an old Yiddish thing, or you know what I mean? Like they might say it in Seinfeld because old Jewish comedians said it. It feels like one of those kind of things.
Sure.
I might be wrong. It might be from the critic. It might sound like those things, but Lovitz came up with it, or the writers or whatever. But regardless, it's not something you hear very often.
No, it was very weird seeing it in a Star Trek cartoon 30 years later.
Coming out of the most irritating character Star Trek's ever created?
Yep.
Hmm. Is he, though?
You know, I put a lot of thought into this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be.
Wow.
Because I hate him right out of the, like, from the second he shows up, I can't stand being with him. And it gets worse every time I'm with him.
I'm trying to think, is he worse than Harold Kim? Is he worse than Chekhov? You might be right.
Because all of those characters have some moment where I'm like, okay, I actually like I can see why this man is popular.
Okay.
Like, I hate Harold Kim, but like, he's had moments where I'm like, all right, fine, this is pretty good, I guess.
Well, and like, people who grew up on the show in the 90s talk about how cute he was, and they're not wrong.
Yeah.
But that's not enough for me, but, you know. But Boimler can't even have that because he's a cartoon, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, everything, well, listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those ways where you and I are very different.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I just, like, every second I have to spend with him is just exhausting.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
Mariner shoots him with a phaser and, like...
Oh, there's a bit where she's testing the force fields, and she makes him stand inside the brig and shoots the force field with him right behind it, and that is very good.
Well, and then she's like, "Don't whine. It was set to done."
That was fairly subtle for the kind of, like, she didn't scream kill like she normally would. It was set to, and then she does shifty eyes and then adjusts the setting.
It's done. It was set to stun.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. There's a bit where the captain says to the computer, hit it, and the computer goes, hitting it, and that bothered me too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I did like the line when Mariner looks at the mission brief or whatever and refers to the ship that they're towing as a rusted old ship full of mummies. That wasn't bad. I knew that would make you laugh.
Yep. There's also a bit where she's insulting the Tellarite captain and references the fact that he likes old gates, which I think is really fucking funny.
Really?
Yep. Okay. He's probably into old gates or something.
Weird.
I don't know what to tell. I don't know why certain sentences tickle me, but like that's definitely one.
I know. And you know, getting to know you and writing with you over the years, like I've learned what some of them are, but sometimes I'm surprised, like, oh, that got you, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Not a judgment, just a surprise.
Loves old gates.
I didn't hate the Tellarite. They didn't write him as a cartoon of a fucking Tellarite. Like, he didn't argue with everything. He ended up being a little too proud, and he's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Why is Freeman getting the credit for this? I'm in charge of this. And I would buy that a Tellarite captain might be a little proud and might do something stupid because he wants to be the one getting the credit. Oh, yeah. And I bought that over, you know, honestly, Enterprise's take on them was more broad.
Oh, yeah.
And this was surprisingly, like, for the most part, he was fairly agreeable. And, like, I kind of like that.
No, this he also just came off as another just bad captain who is bad at his job.
Yeah, look, this is like the lower decks guys might be who we're following on this ship, but we're also following the dregs of the fleet, like,
yeah,
in terms of captains, too.
I think about with stuff like this, I think there's a Jerry Seinfeld line from way, way back where he talks about graduating from dentist school at the bottom of your class. Mm-hmm. And how someone out there has to be like the worst in their class. And I think about it a lot. One, because I was the worst person in my library school class. graduated bottom of my class.
Mm-hmm. You gotta find the Latin for that, like summa cum laude, but like the yeah, you know, what means just barely passed.
Yes, yeah, summa cum quiet.
Uh-huh.
But I love the idea that, like, Freeman, terrible at this. And she hangs out with other terrible captains because, like, they all sort of get the same shit detail.
Well, the thing that I have stolen from another old comedy bit from Dennis Miller in the 90s is the expression valedictorian of summer school.
Yep.
Because that's a great way to say, oh, you did great. So what?
Yeah. No one cares that you did great.
You rose to the rank of captain of the Cerritos. Big fucking deal.
Nice job, dumbass.
Yeah.
There's people out there who are changing the fabric of reality and like whatever, and you are, let me just tick my notes here, helping another spaceship be a tugboat.
I mean, that, honestly, first of all, we definitely saw the Enterprise-D do shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
They were, you know, we complained about them being a fire truck for a good long while there.
Got to drop off the vaccines.
Yeah, but I actually got to get that serum through.
They do. They got to get that serum through.
I know. And bitchy ambassadors. Don't forget those.
Oh, yeah.
TNG loved itself some bitchy ambassadors.
Oh, my God. Remember that guy who just wanted, all he wanted to do was play cards with Data?
Uh-huh.
And be mad about playing cards with Data?
Mm-hmm. But no, I liked just it's just a little tiny thing, but the two ships coordinating their tractor beams together was just a nice use of the technology. I thought it was just
that was cool
thing to see. Not worth building an episode around or anything, just a nice little background detail. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Oh, they did do the next gen poker game in this. They just did it. They just copied the shots and everything. And someone's got cool shades on, which I hated and you liked. But
I thought that was funny.
I thought it was
because he's playing poker. It's a thing professional poker players do.
Yes, in 2020 now, but it is, you know, supposed to be the 25th century, and everyone talks and acts exactly like they do now. At one point, Boimler leaves and says, "Peace." Like,
yep.
That is a thing rappers said in the 80s. It's outdated now, man.
I don't
know. Come on.
And he's doing it while he's doing the Vulcan hand sign.
Yeah, of course he is. Okay. All right. Anything else?
I think we're done here.
Okay. Well, that's all for this time. If you're listening to this in 2024, thank you for your kind patronage. If you're listening to this whenever we post it for the rest of you, thank you anyway. We still like you. You don't have to pay us for us to like you. And that's all for this time.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
The Post-Atomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar-Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.